As announced, the scripture reading this morning will come from Psalms 119, verses 17 through 20. That's Psalms 119, verses 17 through 20. And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. And it reads, Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner of the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. My soul is consumed with long suffering for your rules at all times. I just read Psalms 119, verses 17 through 20.
Good to be with you again this morning. As always, we appreciate, as our announcer said, as Gary said, we appreciate the visitors with us, your honored guest, and we're certainly glad that you are here. Adversity comes in many different forms and fashions. And the frustrating thing about adversity is that it doesn't really need an invitation to invade our lives. We know just from experience that sometimes life seems to be quiet and peaceful, and then the very next moment it seems as if we're caught in some kind of a storm. And for some people, life is just a series of one storm after another. But the good news is, if you are a Christian, that as children of God, we can always rely on the help of God. And with His help and with the love of Christ, and with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, of course, through the Word of God, we can weather the storms of life. If you have your Bibles, open them to Acts chapter 27. And you might recall the very familiar scene when Paul is caught in a storm. And we're going to read some of this in just a moment. But you might remember that this situation with Paul really was altogether avoidable. Paul was on his way to Rome to stand before the Caesar. And the ship that he was on left Caesarea, and they made their way to Crete. And they landed on a small harbor on the southern coast of that island, a place called Fair Havens. And it was Paul's idea because it was winter. It was the time of year that the Mediterranean Sea was very dangerous, and really, you weren't supposed to sail at that particular time. And so he advised the centurion to just stay there. They lodged there for the winter. But because most of the men didn't want to do that, the centurion didn't listen. And so in Acts chapter 27, we pick up reading at about verse 9. Acts chapter 27, and at verse 9, it says, "And since much time had passed, and the voyage was now dangerous because even the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, Sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of the cargo and of the ship, but also of our lives. But the centurion paid more attention to the pilot and to the owner of the ship than what Paul said. And because the harbor was not suitable to spend the winter in, the majority decided to put out to sea from there on the chance that somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete facing both southwest and northwest, and spend the winter there. Now, when the south wind blew gently, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they weighed anchor and they sailed along Crete close to the shore. But soon a tempestuous wind called the northeastern struck down from the land. And when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and were driven along. Running under the lee of a small island called Acada, we managed with difficulty to secure the ship's boat." Now, why were they in this predicament? It really was simply because they ignored sound advice and they decided to go on this ill-advised journey into dangerous territory. And when you stop and think about that, we can kind of relate, can't we? The truth is, most of the problems, many of the problems, I should say, that we experience in life, many of the storms that we find ourselves in, simply comes about because we don't listen to those who know better. How many times has parents told children not to do something and they do it anyway and they're caught in a storm? Or how many times have we told people not to go to a certain place or to consort with a certain people, but they go to those places and consort with those people anyway and they find themselves in a storm? And the point of it is this. Too many times, all of the problems, the difficulties, the storms we find ourselves in are self-induced simply because we don't use sound judgment. But regardless of who was at fault in Paul's situation, he's caught in this storm. And it's no ordinary storm. It is so severe that soon everyone on the ship thought that they were going to die. If you notice down at verse 18, it says, "And since we were violently storm-tossed, they began the next day to jettison the cargo, and on the third day they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. And when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned." But Paul was a faithful child of God. And so God appears to him and gives him, by way of an angel, he appears to him and gives him a message of hope. And so at verse 21, it says, "Since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, 'Men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete and incurred this injury and loss. Yet now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night there stood before me an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I worship or serve. And he said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all of those who sail with you.'" From this familiar text, we want to talk about four anchors that can help us weather the storms of life. Four things that can help us weather these difficulties that seem to blow in our life from time to time. The fact of the matter is, all of us are caught in storms once in a while. I don't care who you are, really. It doesn't matter how you're living your life or what your background is. All of us get caught in the storms of life once in a while. And sometimes, again, it just seems like some people have one storm after another. That may have been characteristic of Paul. Simply because he was a Christian and he stood for the truth, he was constantly finding himself in various storms. But there might be a storm in your life this very day. Maybe it's a stormy marriage. Maybe you're in a marriage where you're always arguing and fussing and fighting. Maybe you're the one in the marriage who precipitates the arguing and fussing and fighting. But again, it doesn't really matter who's at fault. You just feel like your marriage is a shipwreck. You feel as if you've done everything you can and there is no hope. Or maybe it's a different storm in your life. Maybe it's the storm of a rebellious child. Maybe you're dealing with perhaps a teenager and you've done everything you can think of doing. You have been very nice and gentle. You have yelled. You have disciplined. You have done everything that you think you can do, and still the rebellious attitude continues. You feel as if there is no hope. Or maybe the storm in your life is health related. Maybe it's related to your job. Maybe it's related to your finances. Or maybe you just feel battered and storm-tossed and you can't tell exactly why it is. You can't really put your finger on the problem. All you know is you feel desperate and you feel discouraged and it seems as if there is no hope. Well, the good news is that Paul, when he was right in the midst of this storm, God, through this angel, appears to him and tells him not to be afraid. He didn't have to fear because God would help him. And if you're a child of God, I'm here to tell you that if you have a storm in your life, God will help you too. God will anchor your life if you allow him to do so. But there are some anchors in this context that I think are very helpful. There's some things that we have to do and have to hang on to if we're going to weather the storms of life. And so we'll look at four of them. These aren't the only four for sure, but we'll have time to look at four of them in this context. The first one is the presence of God. At verse 23, Paul said, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God." And in this world that is filled with adversity, that's good news. It's good news to know that God is always standing by, that God is never too far from us. It reminds me of the preacher who was trying to teach the young boy about the presence of God. And he said to him, he said, "Son, I'll give you this apple if you can tell me where God is." And the young boy looked at the preacher and he looked at the apple. And then he said to the preacher, "Well, I'll give you a whole barrel of apples if you tell me where God is not." And it seemed like the boy taught the preacher a lesson, doesn't it? But now you stop and think about Paul's situation. His calmness when he was on this ship. It was really a life-threatening situation. A situation that is full of stress. Yet the fact that he was so calm is a glaring testimony to the power of the presence of God. Like everyone else on that ship was in a state of panic, but Paul was at peace. Everybody else was concerned, but Paul had confidence. Why? Because he knew that God was standing by. And the fact of the matter is, when we understand that God is in our lives, when we know that God is always standing by, we don't have to be concerned when circumstances of life grow dreary. We don't have to panic when things turn precarious because we know that God will help us. He is there. He is near to us. God is always standing by. And there's many passages that suggest such. Turn your Bibles way back to Deuteronomy chapter 31. And listen to what Moses says to Joshua in Deuteronomy 31. And beginning at verse 7. Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, and at verse 7, this is what it says. "Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him, 'In the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them. And you shall possess them, and you shall put them in possession of it.'" And he says at verse 8, "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." Now you stop and think, this was a huge situation for Joshua. Like he had some huge shoes to fill. And he was going to be leading the people that was stubborn and stiff-necked. And he was going to have all kind of challenges before him. But Moses says, "Don't worry about it. You don't have to fear. You don't have to be afraid because the Lord is going to be with you." And that is the key to life for those of us who are Christians. That is one of the anchors that can stop us from drifting and help us to weather the storms of life. That when we remember, no matter how severe the storm might be, it might be the perfect storm. It might be something real serious, but we can weather it, whatever it is, if we know that God is standing by. In Isaiah 41 at verse 10, it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Now you think about those words because they're very much applicable today. I am your God. And there's no doubt that's still true with regard to the people of God today. God is our God and he will strengthen us and he will help us. If I say to you, "I'm going to help you, don't worry about it," that may not be all that encouraging. But when the God of heaven says that, the one we know is our creator, the one we know who has all power, when he says, "I'm going to help you," that's something we can pay attention to. And we're encouraged with that in several places. Just a little bit later in Isaiah chapter 43 at verse 2, it says, "And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you." You know what I love about the Bible, and we have suggested it before. The Bible is such an honest book, isn't it? We could predict that because it's God's word, of course, but it really is honest. Like, God has never told his people, if you obey me, then there's not going to be any problems in your life at all. There's not going to be any storms that you have to go through. God has never said that to his people. Instead, in both Testaments, we read over and over that there's going to be trials and tribulations in all of our lives, no matter who you are. But you notice the encouragement there when you pass through the waters. Like, you might find yourself deep in the waters of life and some kind of disturbing situation, but he says, you're going to pass through the waters. You're going to pass through the river, through the fire. You may find yourself in a hot situation, but God won't let you burn up. You might find yourself again drowning in the despair of life, but God won't let you drown ultimately. He'll pull you up just like he did Peter on that occasion. That is, Jesus lifted him up. And that's just the way God operates. And our only concern could be, well, is God really there? And of course, we know he is. He's always standing by. In fact, in Romans chapter 8, turn your Bibles over there. In Romans, the 8th chapter, you remember Paul in this great chapter that he's talking about some of the things that we have because we've been justified and because we're in Christ. And how can we really know that we have these things? Well, Paul in Romans chapter 8 at verse 31, he says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" He says, "He who died, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" Can we be sure that God is in our life? Of course, he spared not his own son. That was the sacrifice he made. And Paul's making the point here. And it's not just an emotional surge that he's having. He knows by experience that God has done so much for us. He spared not his son. There's no way he's going to leave us now. And so we have that. And we have all of these passages that speak of God being with us. We remember what David said in Psalms 23 at verse 4. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why, David? "For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." That's the key to everything, isn't it? You're with me. And we can confidently say the same thing about God today. And if we remember that, not when we're in a comfortable situation and everything's going our way, but in the midst of some kind of adversity, if we remember God is standing by, that will help us to weather the storm. But there's a second anchor, and that is our relationship to God. Notice he continues in verse 23 to say, "Whose I am and whom I serve." And there's two things there that Paul remembered. He remembered first that he belonged to God. Notice that, whose I am. And it puts me into mind of what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 at verse 9. He says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession." And that's what we are. And you should remember that every day of your life, if you're a Christian, you are a possession of God. You belong to him. And in fact, there's a passage we looked at, Isaiah chapter 43 and at verse 2, but back up just one verse. Verse 1 says, "But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." That's encouraging when God says that. I know he's talking to physical Israel there, but it's just as applicable to spiritual Israel. That's us. God would say to us, you're mine. Because we've been bought with a price, haven't we? That puts you in mind of Acts chapter 20 at verse 28. Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. So one thing we know, we came at a high cost. And one of the things you know, when you possess something, when you've worked hard for that possession, maybe it's a car, maybe it's a house that you bought, whatever it is, when you paid for that thing, you're going to take care of it because it's yours. It belongs to you. You worked hard. You paid a lot of money. A high cost, and so you take care of it. That sort of is the answer to why children sometimes, you give them something, a present, and they're thrilled to death that they have it. They're so happy, and in about a week it's broke. Because they didn't pay for it. But when you work hard to possess something, and you buy it, and you redeem it, it now belongs to you. You're going to take care of it. And that's the point of God here. He has redeemed us, and the price was high. The price was nothing less than his only begotten Son. Jesus had to die on a cross. Jesus had to be tortured for us. And so the cost was high, and now we belong to God. And because of that, we could be sure he's watching over us. He's going to take care of us because we belong to him. And right in the midst of the storm, as Paul stood on the deck of that ship with the waves beating that ship, he remembered whose I am. He remembered who he belonged to. And then the second thing is he remembered that he was a servant of God. And that is critical in weathering the storms of life, to have the servant's mentality. Because one thing a servant always does is serve, no matter what. And that was Paul's attitude. Paul would not quit, no matter what kind of storm blew in his life. I mentioned earlier that it seemed like Paul was one of those fellows that it seemed like he was always in a storm. And in this case, it's not like I described earlier. Again, many of the storms are self-induced. Paul was in one storm after another, not because he wasn't living the way God wanted him to live, but precisely because he was. It was because he was letting his light shine. It was because he was proclaiming the gospel, as we saw in Bible study, sometimes in enemy territory, that he was constantly under attack. But no matter what, he wouldn't quit. We can all remember the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, can't we? Turn over there to 2 Corinthians. And you remember in chapter 11 that Paul was being attacked on this occasion by false brethren. And you notice at verse 23, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and at verse 23, it's Paul asked the question, are they servants of Christ? He's talking about these false apostles. They were attacking him and running him down and denying his authority. So he asked the question to the rest of the Corinthians, are they servants of Christ? Have they suffered? What have they sacrificed for Jesus Christ? The answer would be nothing. They weren't real servants of Jesus Christ. They would run at the first sign of trouble, but not Paul. He says, are they servants of Christ? I'm a better one. I am talking like a madman. He didn't want to be using this kind of language, but they were forcing him to defend himself. So he says, with greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. That's what he had to go through. Now watch, he'll describe it all. He says, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. But you know what he didn't do? Is quit. Not once, not twice, not 3 times, 5 times he was whipped. When you were whipped in those kind of situations, you would be close to death most of the time. 5 times Paul had to do that, but he didn't quit because he was a servant. 3 times I was beaten with rods. When's the last time you were beaten with a rod? Three times Paul experienced that because of his Christianity, but still he did not quit. Once I was stoned and three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers and dangers from robbers. Danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brethren, and toil and hardship through many sleepless nights, and hunger and thirst, and without food, and cold and exposure, one storm after another. But he never quit, because Paul was a servant. That's who he was. And right in the midst of this literal physical storm, he remembered who he was. He was a servant of Jesus Christ, and he wasn't going to stop serving no matter what. That can anchor us if we have that kind of attitude. And then there's the word of God. Verse 24, he says, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. Why was Paul so calm in this situation? Why was he so steady in an unsteady environment? Was it because the storm really wasn't that bad after all? No, it wasn't that at all. Fact of the matter is, this storm is so strong that ultimately it's going to tear this ship that he is on apart. It was a real storm. There was real danger, and Paul was calm. Why? Because God told him he didn't have anything to worry about. And he trusted the word of God. Paul knew that God would not lie. God communicating to him through this angel, telling him he, no matter what, he was going to stand before Caesar. That removed any kind of fear Paul would have. If Paul didn't know anything else, he knew that he was going to stand before Caesar. Why? Because God said it. He believed the word of God. He understood that God cannot lie. In Numbers 23 at verse 19, it says, God is not man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? We could look at all kind of passages. 1 Samuel 15 at verse 29. And also, the glory of Israel will not lie or have regret, for he is not a man that he should have regret. What about Titus 1 at verse 2? In hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promises before the ages began. We know by revelation and we know by experience that God simply does not lie. The Hebrews writer in Hebrews chapter 6 said it is impossible for God to lie. And Paul had full confidence in that. And so once God told him it was going to be all right, in fact, told him that not only Paul, but everyone on that ship was going to be safe, Paul believed it. Because he had confidence in God's word. And if you look over at verse 25, and I like really the way the King James reads here, but Acts 27 at verse 25 says, take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. In King James, Paul simply says, I believe God. But the ESV isn't bad here. I have faith in God. It's going to be exactly the way I've been told. He believed the word of God. What about you? You have confidence in the word of God, not in hypothetical situations, but in real life. You believe because God has promised that he is going to take care of you. If you have doubt, if you're having financial difficulties, just read Matthew chapter 6 at verse 33 and believe the word of God, because he made a promise. He'll take care of you. All these things will be added to you. The necessities of life, as long as you seek first the kingdom of God. That's not something you have to doubt or worry about. You can believe the word of God. You have confidence that you're going to go to heaven. We talked a little bit about hope in our Bible study this morning. Are you sure that you are heaven bound? If not, just read 2 Timothy chapter 4 as Paul talks about the crown of righteousness that God has promised us, and then believe the word of God. Have confidence in God's word. He cannot lie. I've given the illustration probably before of the traveler who came up to a frozen river that was wide and you couldn't really get around it without losing days of time. And so he had to cross it to get to his destination, but he was afraid that the ice wouldn't hold. And as he was standing there contemplating the situation, those who were more familiar with that area, they were just walking on that ice and going right on by. No problem. Seeing them do that, finally he got the courage to go across, but he was still very scared. So he dropped on his knees and he started to crawl across that frozen river on his hands and knees. And when he got to about the midway point, he heard a thunderous sound. And it was a team of horses that was leading a wagon full of supplies going over that ice. And there he was on his hands and knees, worried that the ice wouldn't hold. How foolish do you think he felt? What about you when it comes down to the Word of God? Do you think it's going to crack? You think it's not strong enough to hold you up? You think it won't be able to deliver you if you simply have confidence in what God says? We need to believe the Word of God. That's a real anchor for us. Remember the passage earlier? God said, I will help thee. Either you believe that or you don't. If you do, it will be an anchor for you. It can help you weather the storms of life. And then there's one more anchor, and that is the will of God. And this is very interesting to me. It says, howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island, Paul told the people in his speech. And he knew that, obviously, because the angel of God told him that. But what's interesting there is, you know, Paul was just a man. And so as he was hearing this message from God, he must have wondered. Like, can you imagine? Paul had faith that God was all-powerful. He knew exactly who God was, what God could do. And so as God has given him this message through this angel that everything was going to be all right, there's not going to be any loss of life or anything like that, you could just see Paul say, now God, why do we have to go through all this? Why does the ship have to wreck? And why do I have to end up on a remote island in the Mediterranean Sea? Why don't you just say the word and you can still the waves and cause the wind to disappear? Why don't we just get to the business of getting me to Rome? But Paul didn't say any of that, did he? He just accepted the will of God. He was just told, well, this is what's going to happen. Everyone's going to be safe, but the ship, not so much. You're going to end up on an island. And he just accepted that. And the fact of the matter is, if you want to be anchored, you have to accept the will of God. And the will of God to us is revealed in His Word. And whether we understand it or not, whether we like it or not, when God reveals His will, we just need to stay in the will of God. In fact, as you read this story, you find that there were some individuals that really, they didn't believe what Paul said. About verse 28 or so. It says, and so they took a sounding and they found 20 fathoms. A little farther they took a sounding again and found 15 fathoms. And now, and fearing that we might run on the rocks, they let down four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship and had lowered the ship's boat into the sea under pretense of laying out anchors from the bow, Paul said unto the centurion and to the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, they cannot be saved. They were getting ready to go outside the will of God. Paul told them, listen, God has appeared to me. The angel of God spoke to me. He let me know we're all going to be saved. But they didn't believe it. They were trying to get off the ship. Paul said, if they do, they're on their own. As long as they stayed on the ship in the will of God, they would be safe. And there's a lesson for us. We need to stay in the will of God, even if we don't completely understand it. And one of the things we find, and we don't have all the information here, but one of the things we find in this context, Paul ends up on an island, and he has the opportunity to perform a miracle. So these people on the island, they see the great power of God. They never would have seen that if Paul wasn't caught in this storm. And I don't think I go too far off on a limb. I wouldn't be dogmatic on this. But if I know Paul at all, and I think all of us are, we're all familiar with Paul. And we know how he was and how he loved Jesus. And we know how he felt about the gospel of Christ and the souls of men. And so even though it's not specifically stated in the text, I can't help to think that after they saw the power of God, that Paul must have said something to these people on the island about Jesus. Like, if he didn't say anything about the gospel of Christ while he was here surrounded by people who did not know Jesus, if Paul didn't say anything, that would have been totally against his characteristic. It's very possible that Paul preached to them, and that they heard the gospel of Christ simply because Paul was caught in a storm. And the point of it is this. We don't know why we're caught in storms sometimes. It might be God trying to build us up. It might be God trying to correct us a little bit. Or we might be caught in a storm just so that somebody else can get some help. We just don't know. What we need to do is stay in the will of God. And if we do that and continue to live by the word, that will anchor us no matter what the storm might be. And so four anchors that can help us weather the storms of life. It's not a question of if we're caught in the storm. It's when, because that's just life. But we have to weather it. We can't allow the difficulties of life to cause us to drift away from faithfulness to God, because then we'll be lost. The good news is God will help us. But we have to take advantage of the anchors that he gives us. I hope that we will. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. There's a lot of things that we talked about this morning that are blessings for the children of God. In fact, you're not going to find these anchors that we talked about outside of Christ. You need to obey the gospel. Why not do that this morning? Don't know why you came here this morning. Maybe it wasn't to put on Christ in the waters of baptism, but you need to know that Jesus is the only hope of salvation you have. He has the words of eternal life, and nobody has them but him. If you want to be saved, you have to accept that he is that Christ, that he's the Son of God, or else you will die in your sins, John 8 at verse 24. So you're here this morning. Why not accept the gospel? Why not be buried in the waters of baptism, Acts 2 at verse 38? Your sins will be washed away by the blood of Christ. Your sins will be forgiven. And the water's ready. In just a few minutes, you can become a new creature in Christ. If you have drifted because of adversity or anything else in your life, why not come back? Ask God for forgiveness. Repent and pray God. John said he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. Get right with God if you're not this morning. Do it before it's too late. Do it as we together stand and sing.